this darkness, there was something that just wasn't right, and God comes in and he just creates with his light. And things are great, things are perfect, things are going on, people are dancing and painting and having incredible relational abilities, and everything is awesome. And then something breaks in and takes away life. Something goes in and just saps it away. You know, part of the whole deja vu thing, or the connect the dots that maybe we've felt but we never saw in that story, or, you know, some interesting things about how critical relationships are to this thing called life. First of all, we see the beginning, God's talking and God's creating, and it talks about the Spirit hovering over the waters and God speaking. And this word coming out. John says in the very beginning of his book of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. All things were created in and through him. That word that was being spoken out was actually Jesus. And then you notice it says, let us make men and women in our own image. Who's the us? Who's the us? Thought there was God creator. Yes, there is. And there's also the Spirit of God, and there's his very Son who's participating in the very creation of the world. Life comes into this place. Maybe you felt a sense of that life, and then maybe you felt also that life has been snatched from you. Maybe it's been snatched in your brief time on earth, or maybe you're tapping into a spirituality that something happened a long, long, long time ago to steal something from us, from snatch something from us, from having the kind of life and vitality that we were always supposed to have until something was taken and we settled for a counterfeit. We're dealing with in this series called The Life. Let's pray. God, thank you for the power of story, and how we can see that the story of this world, the story of you, has us woven into it. And so I ask that you would help us connect with you in a way that we've only dreamed possible over the next 7 weeks. And if there's anything of help that you can use through my words, I ask you to do that. And I pray these things in your name. Amen. Are our pupils adjusted yet? Getting there. I was a Monopoly man, actually, when I was growing up. Well, a Monopoly kid. Got here the game of life. The game of life. How many of us have played life before? Okay, I've heard of it and everything, but I've never actually played it, tried to figure it out until like the last 24 hours. Interesting. It's very interesting. You know, this actually mimics life. I mean, here we are, got a little minivan, and so many of us said, I will never own a minivan. What do you know? You own one. You know, when you have the ability in the midst of life, you can start in college and kind of take that track if you want. And different things happen in life. And what do you know? Part-time job. All right, I got $5,000. And you do different things. And, oh, graduation day, career choice. What's my career choice going to be? And you have the ability to have all different kinds of careers. Like, that would not have been work for me, actually, the accountant. Accounting one was the hardest 3 semesters of my life when I was going to Robert Morris College. It was not a good thing. You know, hopefully I'm not going to land on that one. But then what happens is we go through, oh, payday. Good. I get me some cheese. You know, I got some stuff here. I'm all good here. And this is really life. I mean, I'll look at the stuff here. Ski accident, pay $5,000. Cycle to work. Visit in-laws. Oh man, that's a hard one. You know, and the whole goal of this thing is you just kind of meander through life based on things that happen. You keep going and going and going and going around, and different things happen to you, and you can get stocks, and you can have different things happen all through your life. And what's the goal? The goal is to retire first. Retire first, and then wait for everybody else to retire, and then see if you have more money than them. The end. Life goes away. That's it. I mean, you gotta think, Who is it that actually sat down and thought of this game? I need a game on life. What do I do with life? You know, this person just must have thought about the average life that they see. The average life he or she was living. The average life that was out there. And this is life. This is really the only life that most people will ever know. This is the only life that our world has given us. It's the only life that we're in. And we just go around and around and around and around and around. We hope we'll retire 60 and die at 80. But who even says that's what part of life should be? Who says? You know, our financial planners, just because somebody told them. And who says we get to retire at 60? Who says we get to live till 80? What if we got 10 more days? I mean, and we find out all these plans that we've had, they're not worth anything because we're not really in control at all. At all. We think we have it to ourselves. We think we got our, nice little pink, thin, sexy thing in the front of my minivan, or my blue little, sexy thing in my minivan. We think we have all that, but that's just something that we've gotten. And you ever realize, like, gosh, I'm in my minivan or in my car, even if you have a sports car. You ever like look around your sports car and you go, oh, it's dirty again. It's dirty again. My car for like a year. Somebody put a little butterscotch in the armrest. It like melted into orange yellow goo. It just kind of like did time lapse photography on it. It just kind of plopped right there, and I forgot about it until somebody in the back seat. Every time someone's in the back seat, they go to shut the door. They go, "Ee!" It just kind of melted right there. Find myself getting a screwdriver, I'm trying to jam that thing out of there, and I'm going, "Okay, is this really what I'm here for? I got a car here. It's a nice car, and I'm happy with it, but I can't keep it clean. I'm grinding stuff off. Is this it? Is this what life is for?" John 1, chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He," speaking of Jesus, "was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." John is saying right away, Jesus was there from the beginning. He was there and He was a participant. He was a participation in the very initiation of life. And if you want your life to have any sense of meaning, you've got to wrestle with the fact of who is life and who it comes from. A few things about life. One thing about life is, life is external. Life needs to be external interactive. There must be something from the outside. Something external must come in for us to have life. Life comes from the external. Now look at these trees and everything here. Every tree, every plant you've ever seen. There has been sun. Sun, an external force came so that there could be life. Life always comes from the external. There is rain. There must be rain that actually comes as an external force to bring life. In fact, all these things wouldn't have happened if something externally had, some seed had been thrown in order for it to happen. Life, we can't get away from the fact that there must be external intervention. This world would not have happened, life in this world would not have happened if there wasn't an external force, if there wasn't a designer, if there wasn't an instigator. And I think of this really every day. You know when I think of this? I think of this every time I put my clothes on. You ever think about that? You put your clothes on, you're going, man, if I'm all that, why do I have to wear something to be warm? Why is that? In fact, all those other creatures God created, why is it that they all get fur and I don't? Wouldn't that be nice if we all had fur? We had fur and we wouldn't have to go buy clothes. We wouldn't try to one-up each other. And, we wouldn't get any stains in certain places. And, we wouldn't... wouldn't life be great, Why don't we have fur? Wonder if God is just reminding us that, hey man, we need something external. We're not all that in and of ourselves. We need something external in order to help us do this thing called life. Eating. Why did God create us to eat? Why is that? What's that all about? I mean, if God's all that, why couldn't He help us be self-sustaining machines? Or at least like eat once every 3 years or something like that. I mean, if a car can go a week or longer and only change the oil every 3,000 miles, what's up that we got to keep all this maintaining of ourselves and eating stuff? What is it? And I think it might be because every time we eat, we remind ourselves, I'm not all that. My life is dependent upon external things. I am in need. I am a dependent creature. Every time I go to the gas pump, I think of this. I have to mention my three accounting classes in school, Robert Morris College Business School, and I that's where I went to school. And it was in Pittsburgh. I lived in a little place called Swickley, and I drove a white CJ7 V8 full time four wheel drive, just like awesome vehicle. It was awesome. Only one thing about it was really bad. 8 miles a gallon. That was the only thing about it that was bad. 8 miles a gallon. And I remember coming over the Swickley Bridge and going up to Robert Morris College, and it was just a hill. That's all it was. Bridge and hill. And I would go up this hill and I'd look at that gas gauge and it was down on me. I'm going, please, please, please get there. Because I'd never had any money in college. Never had any money. And all I would try to do is get to school. Because I knew if I got to school, then I could coast virtually the whole way home and I'd be fine. I can't tell you how many times, though, on the way to school, I'm going up the hill. Oh, I actually sound like Mark. Pull off this. I'm like, man, I used to vow to myself. As soon as I get money, I will never run out of gas again. Never run out. Anybody in here never run out of gas? You people got to get a life. I'm serious. Seriously, you are way under challenge if you never run out of gas. I mean, seriously, you got all your ducks in a row. You need some messes in your life. How about the rest of us who have real lives who have run out of gas? Is it your fault or some other person's fault? Just whisper to the person next to you. Is it your fault or the other person's fault? Just take go ahead, tell the person your person or even name the person's fault it was last time it happened. Yeah. So I'm getting my car jumped. The other day, I left the light on, light goes dead. I'm getting it jumped in the driveway. Finally get it jumped. Libby's giving me a jump. It's running. I look at the gas gauge. Empty. I ran out of gas in my own driveway. So I come out here to AutoZone because I got to get a can because I can't even find my can. I go to AutoZone. They're out of cans. So I go to BP. You gotta go BP to even buy a more expensive can. I don't know why AutoZone doesn't have cans. That's why it's called AutoZone, you know. And I'm just going, why? What is this? Nuts! I have enough money now to always have my tank full, but it's not about the money. It's just about the pace of life. Because I keep thinking I can get like one more errand, one more trip out of this. And yet again, I'm reminded that I'm not all that. I am not self-sufficient. Everything in my life and your life reminds us we need something from outside. Everything reminds us that we are not all that. We cannot do it on our own. And everything about our spiritual condition does that too. You know, there was a time when a little serpent deceived a couple of people and they did something God didn't want them to do. They did their own deal, said, no, we'll do our own deal. And they started to lose their life. They lost their life. And an external force crashed into this earth to remedy the situation. There's a lot of similarities in different spiritualities and different religions there are, but there's one thing that is so unique about what is in this book. It's nowhere seen even remotely in any other religion or spirituality or worldview, whatever you want to call it, this idea that God, the Creator, in a sense, becomes the created. The Creator takes on created flesh and an external force crashes into this world 2,000 years ago and says, you cannot do it on your own. You cannot do it on your own. And this is unique. You will not find this anywhere else. In fact, in other religions, it's ugly. It's nasty. You think that God would actually take on flesh because flesh is nasty. Flesh and physical place is not what you want. You want the higher spiritual thing. Go after the brass ring. Do all this stuff. And the fact that God would lower himself to physical matter, according to other spiritual eyes, is an awful, heinous thing. God says, no, there's nothing wrong with physical matter. I created it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. Just that your physical matter and who you are is tainted, and there needs to be an external force that needs to crash into your world to bring you what's called life. So in verse 4, of John. It says, in him, speaking of Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of men. It is the very thing that illumines. In him is life. True life isn't external. True life isn't some other E word that I can't remember right now. Exterior, there you go. The true life isn't exterior life. You know, you ever look at this thing and, I mean, this really, if you think about it, this really, you know, is our life. It really is. You ever looked at it and wondered if it's not all that? In fact, you know what kind of life this is? There's two words for life that's found in the scriptures. There's the word bios, which is where we get the idea of biology. It's where we get the word biology. And that is those things that are moving, those things that are breathing, life, things that are animate and operating. It's all of what is basic to this world and basic breathing things. Bios. There's nothing bad about it. There's nothing wrong about it. It's just bios. But bios can tend to be a self-contained thing. And we saw this a few years ago when a bunch of people tried to have a self-contained life. It was called the biosphere. Biosphere over there in Arizona or somewhere around there. They tried to have the perfectly contained internal life. Everything perfect inside of this world. And it didn't work. A couple of things happened. One was their trees, they started like bending over. Started bending over because they didn't realize, they never understood, that if there wasn't any external wind, this tree wouldn't be strong enough. We all need some external force to resist. And all the trees start going, ooh. Try to wall yourself off, be your own self, you will wilt. The other thing is they try to be real strategic about who to have in there and have the right people in there, a doctor, you know, someone to do their nails, all that kind of stuff inside there, all the real critical things. And they found no matter how strategic they were, they didn't have everybody they needed inside the biosphere. This is sometimes what we do. We try to contain this little bubble where everything is supposed to go nice. We have just the right amount of people in our life, which is normally nobody except us because everybody else annoys us. You know, every once in a while, we'll like go outside to have some human interaction or something like that. But, you know, and all they'll do, man, you just bother me. I don't need you around. I don't need you too close. We find that God has created us as relational beings. He is a relational being. He is a relational being, and then he creates man and woman. He creates relationships. In fact, in the midst of that 7 days of creation, after every day, you noticed, and God said it was good. God said it was good. If you actually read it in Genesis 1, there's only one time he says nothing. It's when he first creates the man, and he's silent, because he's going, that ain't good. That's not good. And then he creates woman, and it is good. We need each other. That's why a part of this series, if you are not in life group interacting, you are going to miss out on the whole essence of this series. Because no matter how good our presentation is from up here or how interesting it is, we need other people in this journey. If you're not in a journey for the next 7 weeks in a life group, you're really, really going to be short-circuiting yourself. By the way, how many of us so far are in a life group? Raise your hands. That's pretty good. Awesome. Give yourselves a hand. That's awesome. What's fascinating is I've been talking with people who've been going online and registering for life group, getting people they've never met before. They're going to meet them the very first time because they did it through the web, through the find a life group thing on our website. Awesome. Awesome. Now, obviously, when you get with other people, there's messes and there's things that aren't perfect. But we need other people for life. It's one of the things that, you know, this game doesn't really have a big part of. I mean, there's nobody building into me as I land on here. I didn't read anything of that. I didn't land on a thing where someone says, and your friend just tells me you're wrong. You know, that never happens. But I'm just wondering, you know, when I think about stuff like that, is this, where is life? Where is life? Because what this is bios. This is what you can see. This is what you can observe. This isn't unimportant, but it doesn't satisfy. I mean, have you ever had this? I talked about the butterscotch in the car. I had one of these just like today. I got in the treadmill. I'm on the treadmill, you know, and I'm going like this. You ever do this thing? If you ever do it, you're on the treadmill. You go, now, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And I go, oh, I know. I'm doing this so that after service time I can have some cheese curls. That's why I'm doing this. That's exactly why I did. You ever do that? And then you have cheese curls. And what do you got to do? You get back in the treadmill. So you get in the treadmill and you go, I mean, really, is anybody, I mean, you get a little endorphin high every once in a while, I guess, but you ever think to yourself, no, why do I work out? Or why do I run? Or why so I can eat more, so I can do it? Or have you ever think about, you know, why do I read? I read books and I like reading. It's a good thing. God built my mind. But you ever like read, like at your 4 pages and you go, I just like read a bunch of black stuff on white paper And this seems strangely familiar. I've done this before, and my life really isn't all the better for it. I like what I'm doing right now. My life isn't really all the better for it. You ever have that happen? I mean, you ever just do these normal things, like your paycheck comes in the mail, you get your paycheck and the thing, and go, oh, another one. Another one, which was larger, you know, which was, you know, another one. And you realize, you know, I'm here the whole time because I'm going to get another one of these in 2 weeks or a month. And is that it? Is that life? Yes, that's BIOS. Scraping my little butterscotch, that's BIOS. Running the treadmill, that's BIOS. Eating my cheese curls, that's BIOS. You ever interact with people and you just kind of have this twilight out-of-body experience? You go, why am I talking with this person right now? I mean, what is that? Just I go from person to person and talk. Am I not? Am I the only one who ever does this? Do you ever? What really came into focus for me is I tried playing the game Sims a few years ago. It's this simulated thing you can do on a PC, and you know that you can simulate and choose somebody's life, and they go here and here, and it's a simulated life. And I'm watching this. I'm going, well, this is really scary because this is about all my life could be. And so my life is nothing more than a breathing video game. Is that it? I mean, what's different about, am I nuts? Am I the only one who thinks these things? I mean, really, why am I here? Why is that? Why is retirement? See, you and I aren't here for BIOS. We have BIOS. We're here for Zoe. That's not your junior high girlfriend. You're here for Zoe. Junior high girlfriend got her name from the other word that's used in the scriptures for life. It's the word that's used here in the beginning of the book of John, which means ultimate life. It's where we get the word zoo, zoology. You go to a zoo and you see things. It's of a different life that just kind of fires you up beyond paycheck life. What is Zoe life? What is this kind? This is the life that Jesus brings. This is the life that you find in God. And it's this life where you interact with somebody and you notice that they're hurting. And there's something inside you just springs up. Or maybe you're just dead when that happens. There's something in you springs up and you just feel this level of compassion and love for them. And there's something, there's love. It's life. It's Zoe. Or somebody, you have an enemy. You have an enemy and BIOS says, hate those who hate you and ignore those who ignore you. But when you get this life, there's this thing that you do called forgiveness. And why would you do forgiveness? That's not part of our biology. Why do we do this forgiveness thing? Because, you know, BIOS, I've heard someone say, BIOS kind of life is when someone hurts you, it's like you keep drinking gasoline and expecting them to die. But you inside, you're dead all along. But yet when you forgive and you do these things that Jesus would do, there's something that just starts swelling up inside of you. Or maybe you just sit in a place like this today and maybe you're hearing concepts that you've never really heard before, or you're being reminded of them, and you're sitting there and you're going, I don't know what this is, but I'm like sensing something here. What Zoe is, what you're tapping into, as opposed to BIOS. And it's so insidious how this works. So insidious how it happens. Televangelist gets slammed for asking for too much money. I read a thing recently, 6% of all time televangelists spend is asking for money, and the average sitcom spends 28% of their time asking for money through commercials. You know? So where is it? Where is Zoe? Zoe, where are you? Where is life? Are you under here? Are you under here? Maybe it's in a different minivan. Or is it a millionaire estates? Or where is this? So I just keep spinning this thing, just going around and around. Or maybe I need another stock. Yes, that's it. That'll do it. What is it? These exterior things, these BIOS things, as necessary as they are, they don't bring life. They don't bring Zoe. They don't bring inner contentment, regardless of what the circumstances. They don't. Verse 5. Light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The darkness has not understood it. And Jesus comes in and he illumines our world. But what happens sometimes is when you're so dark, your BIOS is all your life's about, you don't even understand it. See, what happens is life, the game of life, anesthetizes us. It's like every time we just get about basic BIOS, we just stick something in our veins and we get anesthetized, we get numbed, we get darkened, and we can't even comprehend when the light crashes into our world. This is what Jesus did in verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We've seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. You know, one of the things that happens with life is life shares itself. True life is about sharing. You know, when something is alive, acorns drop. They drop and they reproduce other things. Life is about sharing. I don't get the iPod thing. I don't get the iPod thing. But I have one. I have one. Let me tell you why I have one. I see these people like, we've got these iPods on and all this stuff. I'm like, man, you got to get a life is what I think here. And I see someone, I'm like, come on, come back to reality. Hello, get the things out of your ears. Well, then I got one because I subscribe to this thing where they try to, it's like a tape of the month club where they try to give me ministry skills. And they're doing this, I'm part of a test market of 10 people. They realize, hey, for over 2 years, with all the money we spend on reproducing CDs, printing CDs, and mailing CDs, we'd be better off buying everybody an iPod and then having them go to a website and download it for free. So I'm on, like on 10 people who got to do a test market until this goes. So I get this thing in the mail. They call me up and tell me, I get it in the mail. And no wonder people dig iPods. Sometimes, see, these are serious. These are awesome. I mean, I'm finding that I'm listening to more people that are inspiring me than I ever would have before. I'm able to have worship music or music that inspires me just to touch. There's only one problem with it. Every once in a while, something touches me that is so awesome, so cool, and I can't share it. I can't share it. It really bothers me. Like, I heard this one message this guy gave me. I go, oh, man. It was like one of those things where Zoe was beating inside of me. It was interesting. It was the guy started a church. It was called Triple X Church. It was a Triple X Church. It's an online church, and their tagline is, you know, the best Christian porn on the net is what it was called. And it's the idea of, you know, if you're having struggle with pornography, go to this site, and we're going to help you give principles from God's Word. It was fascinating. The guy's story was unbelievable, and I'm so inspired. And I want Libby to listen to this, but how do I do that? I mean, like, sit real close to her and like, how do I do that? I couldn't do it. Cause I tried to download it, tried to burn on a CD. I couldn't figure that whole thing out. I'm like, I can't share because isn't this why every time there's like a work of art that touches you, you want to share it with somebody. Maybe you were sitting here and during that first 60 minutes, it was striking something deep in you. You were going, oh, I wish so-and-so was here. You know, all of you are going to call somebody. You may even come back tomorrow. You really can't because there's not going to be seats for you, but you might want to come back tomorrow. You might want to do it because you want to share it. That's what happens. There's a beauty when Zoe touches you. You want to share her. So I ended up getting myself another jack and another headset just so I could share this with her. I said, listen. God cares so much about our life that He wants to share it with us. And so what some of us think we need to do is go get our spiritual life in order. And so I got my financial life. I got my, well, anyway, we see your financial life and we see my family life and I got my education life with college and I got all these, and I got to add my spiritual life. You know, what's interesting is the term spiritual life is nowhere found in the scriptures. Nowhere. In fact, you read the scriptures, there's some very mundane things you read in there. You go, why is that in there? Like there's one part where it tells you when you got a deck, put a railing around the deck. And you're going, what is that about? Or these things about how to structure the financial economics of a country and different things. And you go, what is that about? You know what it is? Is that God never expects us to segment out our spiritual life. There's just life. And you have Zoe in the midst of life, or you don't have Zoe in the midst of life. The Creator became the created and came in and slotted in to our world. One of the things that might have happened today is maybe you came in here thinking you had things figured out and a lot of stuff happened in here, and maybe you're leaving with more questions than you had before. Maybe you came in today and maybe you're going to come in this whole series thinking you're going to have Zoe figured out, you're going to have Jesus figured out. And you know what you might find is when light comes in your world, illumines stuff, it also casts new shadows. Because there wasn't any light before. It was just this darkness. Light comes up, boom, all of a sudden you got new shadows. I never had that shadow before. I never thought about that thing that way before. Really? And so, you know, God works that and penetrates there. And as soon as light comes there, there's a new shadow because that opens up some other door that has some stuff you never even thought of before. You know, and you might find that as you come out of these services or you come out of your life groups, you might find that you're coming out with maybe more questions than you had answers. You know, this might be because the very first time you're getting it. You're really being exposed to something that is outside of yourself as opposed to your own mental and spiritual concoctions. Please, leave here tonight. If you're not in a life group, figure that out online. Go on online, crossroadscommunity.net, hit the life thing. Or if the security thing isn't good for you, just come here either Monday, we'll get you set up. Or come here Tuesday, we'll get you set up. Or get you Wednesday, we'll get you set up. You do not want to, you don't want to not take full advantage of this life series. It won't work without it. Let's pray. God, thank you for every life in here and for your life. And I hope that we have sensed your light and your warmth. God, we want life, true life, real life, not veneer life. Help us experience that through you. Amen. All right, have a great weekend. Again, life groups, figure it out. Get her done. Gotta do it.